College English Test Band 4
Model Test 1
Part 3 Listening Comprehension
Section A Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Question 11.
The piano sounds terrible.
I wish I could ask for my money back. This performance is really a bad one.
Where are the speakers?
Question 12. I think it's starting to snow.
Starting to snow? Look, the grounds are already white.
What does the woman mean? Question 13. Will you please change this channel? I can't stand this program.
If you wait a minute, the news will be on next. I want to be sure to see it tonight.
What are these people doing? Question 14. What do you find difficult about language learning? Grammar, vocabulary, or pronunciation?
Well, I find it difficult to learn pronunciation.
What does the woman find difficult?
Question 15. I don't believe we've ever met before, have we?
We've been introduced at other parties. Don't you remember?
What does the man imply?
Question 16. I'd like to drive to the concert, but my brother is using the car tonight.
No problem, but haven't you thought of the subway?
What does the woman suggest?
Question 17. Could you lend me your pen? Mine has just run out of ink.
I'm afraid I don't have an extra one. Would a pencil do?
How did the man respond to the woman's request? Question 18. How do I look in my new dress?
It fits you like a glove and matches your eyes perfectly.
What does the man think of the woman's new dress?
Now you'll hear 2 long conversations.
Conversation 1. Dr. Smith, I need to ask you about something in Chapter 12. Well, it talks about erosion and the deposit of sediment. On the deep sea floor. But I'm confused. For that to happen, there would have to be some kind of force down there, moving the mud or sand or whatever, right? But I thought there weren't any waves or currents that deep in the ocean.
That's not exactly correct. It's true that deep down on the ocean floor, we won't have the same kinds of currents we find in shallower parts. But we do find what we call turbidity currents. This wasn't in the book, but the term came up in class. Do you remember what it means?
Turbidity currents? Oh, yeah. Isn't that when sediment like sand or mud gets stirred up and mixes with water? And then this mix flows through the water around it, right?
Good.
But I thought that only happened in rivers.
Well, yes, this does occur in rivers, but we see turbidity currents deep in the ocean as well.
But how do they get started there?
Earthquakes, mostly. When an earthquake occurs underwater, it throws up tremendous amounts of mud or sand that becomes suspended in a layer of water near the bottom of the ocean. This layer is so much denser and heavier than other ocean water that it flows right down the slopes of the ocean floor and gains more and more speed as it moves along. Then, it's just like the winds blowing across the desert, picking up sand from one place and moving it along and finally dropping it somewhere else.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What is the main topic of the discussion? Question 20. What does the professor ask the student to explain? Question 21. According to the professor, how do earthquakes cause turbidity currents? Question 22. Why does the professor mention desert winds?
Conversation 2.
Hey Jack, now that the midterms are over, a bunch of us should get away for the weekend to go canoeing. Want to come along?
Well, it'd be great to get away, but I've never done it before.
None of the others have either, except for me. I went once last fall, but there'll be an instructor in each canoe the first day.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. This is our last chance to take a break before finals. The scenery is beautiful, and if it gets too hot, we can dive in whenever we feel like it. The river is really calm this time of the year. No rapids to deal with.
That's a relief. What would I have to bring?
Let's see. Tom's bringing food for the Friday night cookout for everyone, and the people who run the trip have tents set up, and they supply food and drinks for all day Saturday. On the way back Sunday morning, we'll stop somewhere for breakfast. So, you have to bring a bathing suit and a sleeping bag.
Well, I do love camping and sleeping out. Where is the place?
Well, it's about an hour and a half to the place where we meet the trip leaders. We leave our car there, and they drive us and the canoes upriver to the place where we start canoeing.
And who's driving us to the meeting place?
Well, I was hoping we could take your car. Mine's in the shop again.
Oh, I see. It's not me you want, it's my car.
Don't be silly. So what would you say?
Oh, why not?
Great. I'll give you a call when I find out when everyone wants to leave on Friday.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 23. What is the main reason the woman calls the man? Question 24. What is one thing the man has to bring? Question 25. Why does the woman need to talk to the man again?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
Edison is a well-known American inventor. He was taught by his mother when he was a child. Later, he learned things by himself by reading and experimenting. He built a lab for himself to work in, and he worked very hard in his 60 years of scientific activities. He made over 1,000 inventions. Few inventors in the world could have such great success. Edison's first invention was made in 1868. He was then a telegraph operator. He wished to work out a new method to improve the old telegraph system, because it was impossible at that time for the system to send more than one message along the same line at the same time. He read all the works of Faraday, another great scientist, before starting his invention. Sometimes he didn't go to bed and didn't even stop to eat. He thought he had very much to do, and there was no time to lose. Days and nights he was reading and reading. After he read through Faraday's writings, he began his experiments. A few months later, he succeeded in building a double transmitter and improving the old telegraph system.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. What can we learn about Edison's early education? Question 27. When did Edison make his first invention? Question 28. Why did Edison decide to improve the old telegraph system?
Passage 2.
In many parts of the world, farmers and their families live in villages or towns. In the United States, however, each farm family lives on its own fields, often beyond the sight of any neighbors. Instead of traveling from a village to the fields every morning, American farmers stay on their land throughout the week. They travel to the nearest town on Saturdays for shopping or on Sundays for church. The children ride on buses to large schools which serve all of the farm families living in the area. In some areas, there are small schools serving a few farm families, and the children walk to school. Of course, life keeps changing for everyone, including farmers. Today, there are cars, good roads, radios, and television sets. And of course, there are modern machines for farming. All of these have changed farm life. For many years, however, farming in America was often a lonely way of living. Farmers had to deal with their own problems instead of getting help from others. They learned to try new methods and to trust their own ideas instead of following older ways.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. What makes farmers in the USA different from those in many parts of the world? Question 30. Which is true according to the passage? Question 31. What is the passage mainly about?
Passage 3.
To get a driver's license, you must take a series of tests. The first test is the vision test. This test checks your eyes to see if you have to wear glasses when you drive. The second test is a written test that checks your knowledge of highway and traffic regulations. You can prepare for this test by studying a booklet that you can get at the driver's license office. After you pass the written test, you receive an instruction permit. This permit allows you to practice driving with an experienced driver. The last test you have to take is a road test. This checks your driving ability. If you pass it, you will receive your driver's license. When you go to the driver's license office to take the road test, you must provide your own vehicle. First, the license examiner checks the mechanical condition of your car. Then, the examiner gets into the car with you and asks you to drive in regular traffic. While you are driving, the examiner tests you for such things as starting, stopping, turning, backing up, and parking. If you can't control the car properly, or if you violate a traffic regulation while you are taking the test, you fail the examination. You will have to practice driving more until you take the road test again and pass it.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. What does the second test check? Question 33. What does the instruction permit allow you to do? Question 34. What do we learn about the road test? Question 35. Who are the most probable readers of the passage?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
There were 23 British universities in 1960. After a period of expansion in the 1960s, There are now 48, including the Open University and the independent University of Buckingham. There are 35 in England, 8 in Scotland, 2 in Northern Ireland, and 1 in Wales. They can be classified into 3 types. The ancient universities of Oxford and Cambridge were set up in the 12th century. But until the 19th century, they were the only English universities and offered no places for women. However, another 4 universities were founded in Scotland in the 15th and 16th century. The second group of universities were mainly created between 1850 and 1930. The third group consists of new universities, founded after the Second World War and later in the 1960s. Many of them were set in the countryside. Some 340,000 full-time students attend British universities, and the government would like to increase this figure by some 25% in the 1990s. A very small number of students leave university without finishing their courses. The majority aim for a good degree to obtain a good job, or to continue in higher education by doing research. Most students tend to live on campus, while others may rent houses outside the university. Until recently, few British students chose universities near their parents' homes, and many seem to prefer those in the south of England. But financial costs are now changing these choices.
Now the passage will be read again.
There were 23 British universities in 1960. After a period of expansion in the 1960s, there are now 48, including the Open University and the Independent University of Buckingham. There are 35 in England, 8 in Scotland, 2 in Northern Ireland, and 1 in Wales. They can be classified into 3 types. The ancient universities of Oxford and Cambridge were set up in the 12th century, but until the 19th century, they were the only English universities and offered no places for women. However, another 4 universities were founded in Scotland in the 15th and 16th century. The second group of universities were mainly created between 1850 and 1930. The third group consists of new universities founded after the Second World War and later in the 1960s. Many of them were set in the countryside. Some 340,000 full-time students attend British universities, and the government would like to increase this figure by some 25% in the 1990s. A very small number of students leave university without finishing their courses. The majority aim for a good degree, to obtain a good job, or to continue in higher education by doing research. Most students tend to live on campus, while others may rent houses outside the university. Until recently, few British students chose universities near their parents' homes, and many seem to prefer those in the south of England. But financial costs are now changing these choices.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
There were 23 British universities in 1960. After a period of expansion in the 1960s, there are now 48, including the Open University and the Independent University of Buckingham. There are 35 in England, 8 in Scotland, 2 in Northern Ireland, and 1 in Wales. They can be classified into 3 types. The ancient universities of Oxford and Cambridge were set up in the 12th century. But until the 19th century, they were the only English universities and offered no places for women. However, another 4 universities were founded in Scotland in the 15th and 16th century. The second group of universities were mainly created between 1850 and 1930. The third group consists of new universities, founded after the Second World War and later in the 1960s. Many of them were set in the countryside. Some 340,000 full-time students attend British universities, and the government would like to increase this figure by some 25% in the 1990s. A very small number of students leave university without finishing their courses. The majority aim for a good degree to obtain a good job or to continue in higher education by doing research. Most students tend to live on campus, while others may rent houses outside the university. Until recently, few British students chose universities near their parents' homes, and many seem to prefer those in the south of England. But financial costs are now changing these choices.
This is the end of listening comprehension.
College English Test, Band 4.
Model Test 2.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A.
Question 11. Good afternoon, madam. Would you like to sit here? I'm afraid there are no other seats free at the moment.
I'd prefer to sit alone, but I suppose this will do. Have you a menu, please?
What is the probable relationship between the man and the woman? Question 12. Didn't you tell Tom about the meeting?
Whatever I say to him goes in one ear and out the other.
What does the woman mean?
Question 13. How did your interview go?
I couldn't feel better about it.
What does the man feel about the interview?
Question 14. I'm looking for the laboratory. Am I on the right floor?
No, it's on the second floor. You can take the stairs up.
Which floor is the man on? Question 15. This physics assignment was difficult. I worked all night and couldn't finish it.
You worked all night? It took me only 20 minutes.
Why is the woman surprised?
Question 16. Hello, Bob. Jack and I will hold our wedding party next Sunday. We'd like you to come.
Congratulations. I'd like to go very much, but I'll have an exam on Monday and an essay due on Wednesday.
What do we know about the man? Question 17. Do you really have to work at the student center tomorrow night?
I'm afraid so. I wish there were some way I could get out of it.
What does the man mean?
Question 18. If you'd like to go there for dinner this evening, I'll call the restaurant and book another seat.
Thanks, but I promised my mother I'd take her to the airport. She is going to visit my sister in Hawaii.
What is the woman going to do this evening?
Now you'll hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
Hey, Ellen, you'll never guess who I met last week. Barbara Johnson.
You don't mean the Barbara Johnson who directed the choir that performed on campus last weekend?
That's right.
But she's so famous. How did you get to meet her?
Well, you know how in that program they handed out, they printed the words to the choral pieces along with the translations. I found all these mistakes in the Latin text, you know, typographic. Wait a minute. You were actually reading the words.
I like to follow the text while I'm listening. It helps me understand what they're singing about. Anyway, while they were doing those Latin pieces.
I noticed all these mistakes, mostly spelling errors. It was really annoying. So, after the concert, all those people were crowding around backstage to see her and the soloist.
Yeah, I remember there were dozens of people waiting there for autographs.
Well, I waited to the end. And then, when I met Barbara Johnson, I showed her the mistakes I found.
Was she upset?
Upset? She actually thanked me and said if I sent her a copy of the corrected text, she would revise it for the next time they sing those pieces and even print my name in the acknowledgement as a program editor.
Wow, your Latin must be pretty good to find all those errors.
I should hope so. I major in classics, you know.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What is the man eager to tell Ellen? Question 20. What can be inferred about the two students? Question 21. What was Barbara Johnson's reaction to the man's comments? Question 22. What will the man probably send to Barbara Johnson?
Conversation 2. Hello.
Hello, this is Lily Wilson. May I speak to Ted Robinson, please?
Hi, Lily. It's Ted. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm calling about the theater group I belong to, the Princeton Players. We're looking for more people to join, especially men. And I thought you would be interested.
Oh, you know how much I love acting, but I'm taking some very hard courses. I might be able to learn my part, but I would hardly have time to come to the rehearsal.
Well, actually, we practice only one night a week, Thursdays, from 7 to 10. So we wouldn't have to put in extra time before a performance.
Only once a week, you say? Well, could you give me time to think it over?
Sure, but look, why don't you come and watch our practice next Thursday? I think you'll like the way we work. When you see how much fun it is, you'll want to join right away.
Okay, I'll come to a rehearsal, but I can't promise more than that.
Great. I'll give you a call on Wednesday to remind you. Talk to you then. Bye now.
Bye, Lily.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 23. Why does Lily think Ted might be interested in the theater group? Question 24. Why does Ted ask for time to think about whether he will join the group? Question 25. What does Lily expect Ted to do?
Section B.
Passage 1.
Nowadays, there is a growing awareness of the problem of a rapidly increasing world population. This is largely the result of improved medical skills, which have lowered the death rate and at the same time raised the birth rate by increasing live births and the number of babies who survive early childhood. There is a growing realization that food production cannot keep pace with these increases, the result of which is that in some countries, people are already starving to death while millions more suffer from lack of nutrition. This problem is further complicated by the fact that in places like America and Europe, we obtain by trade and consume far more food and resources like oil than, say, the average Indian, thus leaving even less for the people in the underdeveloped areas to survive on. World population is rising at a rate of 2% a year, and the fastest growing region is Latin America, while Africa closely follows it. However, the largest absolute addition to the world population is in Asia, which at present contains about 3/5 of the people of the world.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. Which is one of the results of improved medical skill? Question 27. At what rate is the world population increasing per year? Question 28. Which is the second fastest growing region in the world in terms of population?
Passage 2.
Most young married couples in the United States share their duties and responsibilities both inside and outside the home. The reason for this is that they both usually have a job. Most of the young married people have to work in order to plan for their future years. For example, some people might plan for a comfortable home. Some others may plan for a family and their children's education. And still some others may generally want to save for a better living. Since a woman helps financially, a man feels that he should help his wife in the home. He may help her with the cleaning by lifting heavy furniture. Also, he may often wash and dry the dinner dishes because his wife has to take care of the children. This usually surprises people of other cultures because they consider it beneath the dignity of a man to help his wife. Or, in other words, a man shouldn't do a woman's job. In American life, however, This is just another way of showing the respect that men and women have for each other.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. Why do young American couples share their duties both inside and outside the home? Question 30. What is the reason a man feels the necessity to help his wife with housework? Question 31. What's the American's opinion of men sharing women's duties at home?